You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
The FBI and CIA are reported to be looking for the source of a compromise that shut down CIA agents in China between 2010 and 2012. Hackers or moles, no one knows. Or was it just a tradecraft mismatch? WannaCry has been slowed, at least temporarily. Observers speculate the ransomware may have been a probe. Other uses of Eternal Blue exploits look more focused and more disciplined and arguably more serious. And WikiLeaks dumps another leaked implant. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, May 22, 2017. The New York Times reported Saturday that Chinese counter-espionage efforts from 2010 to 2012 rolled up CIA assets. Agents recruited in China to collect information on that country, causing considerable damage to U.S. intelligence efforts. It also had tragic consequences for those arrested, who are said to have been imprisoned and perhaps in some cases executed. This is an older case that's only now come to public light. The agents' identities were compromised in some fashion, but whether by careless tradecraft routines, a mole in the U.S. intelligence community, or successful hacking of U.S. clandestine communications or data is so far unknown. The compromise is being compared to the damage done by rogue CIA officer Aldrich Ames, arrested in 1994 and convicted of spying for the KGB, and treasonous FBI Special Agent Robert Hansen, arrested in 2001 and convicted of betraying U.S. agents to Russian intelligence services. In a more recent development, China's government has decided to put the brakes on new information security regulations its Cyberspace Administration was set to implement this coming month. The regulations would have imposed stringent security review and data sovereignty restrictions on companies doing business in China. The projected rules attracted a great deal of international resistance from industry groups. The ultimate outcome is, of course, unknown, but at least in the short term, Chinese authorities have decided to listen to objections from some 50 organizations. Among those industry groups are the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Business Software Alliance. WannaCry infestation slowed late last week, but there are signs of an attempted revival as botnets assail the domain that sinkholed the ransomware. Looking back at the WannaCry incident, Russian banks, Britain's National Health Service, and many, many Chinese users of unauthorized and unpatched Windows software seem to have been the most prominent victims. Preliminary and circumstantial attribution continues to focus on North Korea. In a statement at the UN, Pyongyang dismissed the accusations as ridiculous, but of course we bet Pyongyang says that to all the boys and girls. The connection to North Korea runs through what investigators see as traces of Lazarus Group code in the campaign, the Lazarus Group, of course, being the North Korean state criminal threat actor thought to have been involved in the Bangladesh bank heist. Those skeptical about North Korean involvement point to the fact that the most severely affected countries were Russia and China, who seem on the face of it unlikely targets. But relations between North Korea and Russia and China have cooled of late, and the WannaCry attack seems to have been indiscriminate more by mistake than design. There are reasons to suspect, however, that WannaCry may have been deliberately sloppy in its execution. Eric Schlesinger of security company Polaris Alpha, this morning told the CyberWire that WannaCry might be considered a shot across the bow, a probe to determine how vulnerable enterprises were to known but unpatched vulnerabilities. Cyfort and other security researchers report that Eternal Blue, the exploits that enabled WannaCry, are being used to distribute a remote access Trojan. The rat appears to be establishing persistence in networks whence it could stage future operations. Unlike WannaCry, it's not ransomware and it's not a worm. It looks like espionage. There's also a WannaCry successor that uses seven of the tools dumped by the shadow brokers. The Croatian government's CERT has been observing and describing it. They call it Eternal Rocks. It can be readily weaponized not only with ransomware, but with a variety of rats as well. We heard from Plixer's Michael Patterson, who sees the incident as the opening gun in a race between hackers and sysadmins, the admins needing to patch the SMB file-sharing protocol before the hackers can infect systems. Patterson says, quote, once a device is infected, applying a subsequent patch does not remove the malware. The most effective way for security teams to monitor for any infected device is to leverage network traffic analytics to look for any historical Tor connections leaving the organization. Eternal Rocks uses a delayed Tor communication with a command and control server. By delaying the communications, the bad actors are attempting to be more stealthy, end quote. There is some good news on WannaCry, however. It's been reverse engineered, and decryptors are now available from several sources. Malwarebytes has posted instructions on how to use them. There are other variants of ransomware out that are unrelated to WannaCry. Xdata, a new strain of ransomware, hit Ukraine hard over the weekend, with signs of preliminary infection spreading to Estonian and German targets. And finally, where WikiLeaks and the shadow brokers get the material they're leaking remains an open question. WikiLeaks continues to disgorge the contents of its Vault 7 with another document dump late Friday. This latest tranche continues WikiLeaks' recent concentration on alleged CIA tools, in this case an implant, Athena, said to be capable of infecting Windows systems from XP to Windows 10. WikiLeaks' Julian Assange may be out from under the shadow of Swedish criminal law, but the Americans continue to be interested in him, and so Mr. Assange can be expected to maintain his residence in Ecuador's embassy to the United Kingdom. British police still have an eye on him, although a somewhat less focused eye now that Sweden has dropped its intentions to prosecute. For their own part, the shadow brokers still plan to open their Leak of the Month Club to subscribers beginning in June. They're selling still what they claim are Equation Group, that is, alleged NSA, tools. Their most recent dump included the Eternal Blue exploits used with significant, albeit ineptly executed effect last week. The brokers themselves say they are not interested in stealing the grandmother's retirement money, but in doing battle with the Equation Group. So, for a price, you can subscribe to the club. We'll leave you with two good words. Caveat emptor. Buyer beware.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Joe, with the recent story about the FCC rolling back privacy rules when it comes to ISPs,
right.
This has really brought the subject of VPNs to the fore. Yep. I thought maybe we'd just talk about some basics. It's nice to cover some of these things to start from the beginning.
Sure.
Just what is a VPN and why should you be using one?
Okay, so VPN stands for Virtual Private Network.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is, an encrypted tunnel between your machine. It can actually be between any two points on the internet.
Okay.
In the case of most commercial VPNs that users are going to use, it's a piece of software you install on your machine that then takes all of your network connection and encrypts it and sends it to one location on a provider's site.
So the VPN provider's site.
The VPN provider's site, right?
All right.
And it's not really a site. Well, I mean, when you say site, I think website, but it's a computer that has a server that listens for your VPN connection, authenticates you as a valid user of the system, and then all of your traffic is routed through their network. So it comes out of their network from wherever they want it to. And some of these VPNs, the one I use, I actually do pay for a VPN to use for my purposes.
Okay.
And on my home computer, it's on all the time. As a matter of practice, I keep it on all the time.
And so it's just running. You don't even notice that it's there.
I don't even notice that it's there. Exactly.
Okay. And what does this do for you in terms of privacy and security?
So in the case of what just happened with the change of the rules, now my ISP is Verizon. Now, when Verizon watches my traffic, they don't see anything other than encrypted traffic from my computer to the VPN site. That's all they ever see coming out of my computer.
So they can't tell where you're going, what you're visiting.
Anything
they don't
about
know.
That.
They just don't know what you're up to.
They don't know what I'm up to. And that means they can't gather, you know, marketing information on me and other things. I'm not saying that Verizon is going to do this,
right.
Or any other ISP, although now that they can do it, you know, I would not be the least bit surprised if they monetize that.
Sure, and if you're someone who's interested in privacy, it's, you know,
right.
A few bucks a month seems like a
sure.
decent investment to make.
Yeah, the one I pay for cost me less than $40 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have the level of security that I think it provides, I enjoy it. I think it's a good value.
All right. Interesting stuff as always. Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dave.
And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody. It's Maria Varmazas here, your host over at T-Minus Space Daily, and sometimes a guest on Hacking Humans, too. We here at N2K CyberWire work hard to bring you concise, intelligence-driven news and commentary, and we'd like to know how we're doing. Please take a few minutes to complete our audience survey and share your feedback to help us continue to grow and meet your needs. Visit cyberwire.com/survey. That's cyberwire.com/survey. to get started. Thanks so much for your input as we reach for the stars. It means the universe to us.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.